الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم وأتممت عليكم نعمتي ورضيت لكم الإسلام دينا. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the world is seeing great changes. Throughout the planet, we are seeing disputes, we are seeing wars, we are seeing people killing each other for no reason whatsoever. One of the signs of Qiyamah is that the murderer does not know why he is killing, and the person that's killed does not know why he was killed. So we are going through that phase. All the minor signs of Qiyamah are prevalent. Now it is only a matter of time when the major signs of Qiyamah present themselves, and then we await the Mahdi, then we await Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. In the past week, two great events had taken place. One was for the Akhirah, and the other was the extension of the war. For the Akhirah, 1% of the Ummah number, between 1.6 to 2 billion people. So 1% of the Ummah was gathered on the plains of Arafah. Now we understand the importance of this ibadah of Hajj, and the importance of those people who Allah Ta'ala had called to present themselves. The people that were called to present themselves in this Hajj on the day of Arafah are the delegation of Allah. And only those who Allah Ta'ala had chosen, Allah Ta'ala had decreed, only those were allowed to present themselves. But they were in fact deputized, and they were coming on behalf of their communities, of their countries, of their people, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gathered them on one plane. Now, this Haji that was present there, he made tawbah, he made istighfar, he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, رَجَعَكَ يَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. He comes back sinless as the day his mother had given birth to him. So let us understand the dynamics. Prior, previous years, whoever wanted to go, whichever means they had adopted to get there, they had got there. But now Allah has created such a situation, such a condition, that only those who the governors of the time, the government of the time allow, only those would be allowed onto the Maidan and Mashai, in Mina, Muzdalifa, Arafah. So that puts us in a different spotlight. Before it was open to all. Now only specific people that are chosen can be there. So this elevates the rank and the status. Tell me, if a person comes and tells us that I can organize a visa for you for Hajj, but it will cost you R1 million, who won't take that opportunity? Because now it's so restricted. It's not open to all. The market is closed. So that position a person has in Arafah is not a small position. He is the delegation of Allah. He has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has a responsibility to himself to his community, and to Allah Rabbul Izzat. So now we understand the rank of the Haji. He is not a normal individual that is coming back. He's not coming back from a so-called holiday. But he had exerted himself in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reward of performing one salah in Masjid al-Haram in Makkah al-Mukarramah is equal to 100,000 salah elsewhere. But the Haji submitted himself to the command of Allah. That on the 9th of Zilhijjah, on the 8th of Zilhijjah, you go to Mina. And you read your salah there. On the 9th of Zilhijjah, you go and stand in Arafat. Now if a person applies his mind, the Haji applies his mind, and he says, no, but if I perform my salah in the Haram, that would be a greater reward. But the reward for him is to be in Arafah. The reward for him is to be in Mina. Like one Haji came and asked question that the wukuf of Arafah finishes at sunset. Will there be more reward for me if I stay on after sunset? No. The hukum of Allah is that you stay till sunset. After sunset, you leave Arafah, you go towards Muzdalifah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam make three du'as. And two du'as were accepted. One was a du'a, oh let not, oh Allah, let not my ummah perish by famine. Let not my ummah perish by poverty. Something to that effect. And the last du'a that he made, oh Allah, forgive the zalim also. Forgive the oppressor also. So the first two du'as were accepted in Arafah. And the third du'a for the zalim, for the oppressor, that du'a wasn't accepted. But in Muzdalifah, when the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam camped for the night, performed the Maghrib and Isha Salah, we again receive the hukum of Allah. What we know is that I performed my Maghrib and Maghrib time, I performed my Isha at Isha time. But in the days of Hajj, for the Haji, the law changes. Your Maghrib and Isha, you will perform in Muzdalifah, whatever time you reach them, before Subah Sadiq. With one Azan, one Iqamah, you'll perform your Maghrib Salah, thereafter you'll perform your Isha Salah. And you will spend your night in Ibadah. Now we find, Alhamdulillah, it is only the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Allah ta'ala puts these thoughts into the people that are governing the place to make it comfortable for the hajis, to make sure all the facilities are there, to make sure there's enough water. And because you're spending the night in Muzdalifah, there's enough facilities for you to put your haji mat down and to have a rest and to wake up and make the ibadah of Allah. Muzdalifah is the night where you're supposed to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in Mina, you reflected upon your sins. And you reflected upon your life. Now you came to Arafah, you made azam. You made a firm intention now to leave out all the sins that you are committing. To move away from your previous lifestyle. And now come unto the hukum of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah. So you made your tawbah and you're moving towards Muzdalifah. And in Muzdalifah, you sit and you ponder now, made all this azaim. I made all these intentions. Now I have to implement these intentions. There's no pious person and there's no sinner without a future. No matter how pious you are, there's something in the closet that's hidden, only Allah knows. And no matter how sinful you are, with that tawbah that you make, with that turning to Allah Ta'ala in repentance, there's no saying which heights Allah can take. Malik bin Dinar rahmatullahi alayhi was a sinful person. But he made sincere tawbah, Allah made him the wali where his du'as get accepted. Like that, history bears testimony to numerous individuals who are on the wrong track, Some of them went for Hajj, changed their lives, and made them mustajabud da'wat. That means whatever du'as they made, Allah Ta'ala accepted those du'as. Anyway, coming to the point, now the Haji returns. He did his job. Rasulullah SAW mentions, when you meet the Haji, shake his hands, make salam to him, greet him, and ask him to make dua for you. Because he has returned from such a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven his sins, and where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will readily accept his du'as. So when we meet the Haji, we don't turn our faces the other side, or we don't run away. Embrace the Haji. Make salam to him. Greet him warmly. He has come back as the delegation of Allah. And another hadith states that, tell the Haji to make istighfar for you. To ask for repentance, to ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive your sins. Because whoever the Haji asks for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala accepts his dua for that person. Another riwayat, it comes that something to this effect, that shake the hands of a Haji because he has made istilam to the Hajj Aswad. He has made istilam, he has Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, before he starts the tawaf, he has made istilam to the Hajj Aswad. So my dear respected brothers, this Hajj and the returning Haji is no simple matters. Now we can see where it gets more and more difficult for us to go for Hajj. We have to go through so many processes, and we have to pay huge amounts of money. Prior years, 60s, 70s, £100, £200, go from Ramadan till after Hajj, up till 2,000, 10,000 rand a person, from Ramadan till after Hajj. Then up till the COVID era, 30,000, 40,000, Ramadan, can go Ramadan, go Hajj, come back after Hajj. Now the same trip is costing 120,000, plus minus. And so much of paperwork. To get the visa is a problem. Once you get the visa, to sort all your things out. So the reality of the situation is that we have to, the amount of investment that a person makes, he needs to see the returns. A businessman will make an investment because he wants to see the returns. So, if we cannot go ourselves, at least respect the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ هَجَّكَ وَغَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ وَأَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. This was a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prescribed for those who are meeting the Haji. You make dua for him. Oh Allah, accept the Hajj that the Haji has made. قَبِلَ اللَّهُ And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive your sins. غَفَرَ ذَنْبَكَ. And whatever you have spent in your Hajj, أَخْلَفَ نَفَقَتَكَ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you. Because this Hajj demands two things. It demands mali qurbani, that means you have to spend a lot of wealth. And it demands jismi qurbani. It demands a lot of strength, a lot of energy. Now, if a person thinks, no, I'll go in my old age. When I'm old, I did whatever I want in life. I went off the track and I came back and I went off again and I came back. I want to do all those things, funny things. And then I'll go for Hajj in my old age. Now he's in a wheelchair. He needs somebody to push him. He needs somebody to make his khidmat. Hajj reminds a person of the day of Qiyamah, where everything is nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. So now the Haji is looking for somebody to push him in the wheelchair. Illa mashallah, one kind youngster will come and say, okay, I will help you. But in most of the time we find up till the last moment, because he's old, he's frail, he does not know what to do, who's going to help him, then one person Allah will send that will help him and push him through all that 14, 15 kilometers from Muzdalifah, walking to the Jamarats. Now we see this thing going around where a person is playing pedal, taking a pedal racket and hitting the jamarat. But we don't understand the importance of the ibadah. That is why they're making a mockery of this. Do you understand what is the importance of pelting shaitan? Every pebble that you throw towards the jamarats, the shaitan with the pullers are, Allah forgives one such sin of yours, that if Allah did not forgive you, you were destined to the fire of Jahannam. Such a high act of ibadah. My dear respected brothers, all the manasik of Hajj, Rabbana, arina manasikana wa tub alayna. The dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, O Allah, show us the manasik of Hajj and let us make tawbah to you, because you are the most forgiving, Tawwabur Rahim, and the most merciful. So that's another topic altogether, the du'as of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. The second event that took place in the last week, we find that the war had started. The zalim was Israel. The mazloom, the oppressed, was Iran. What is our situation? Iran or the Shia themselves are the mortal enemy of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. They will look at every given opportunity to annihilate the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. But now we're seeing this, they are retaliating. How do we understand this? So let's understand it by way of example. A robber comes to your house. He got you, cornered. Your Hindu neighbor comes and saves you. So you will acknowledge his act of bravery, that he had come to save you, while your Muslim neighbors around you did nothing. But you won't accept Hinduism. Will you accept Hinduism? You won't accept Hinduism. You will acknowledge, yes, that this person, he came, he helped me, he saved my life. MashaAllah, very good. Allah give him hidayat. Allah make him a Muslim. And all those du'as you'll make. But you will not start thinking, hey, because he saved me now, Hinduism is a better religion. Let me think about Hinduism. It was his act saved you, not his religion. So similarly in this situation, we come to the point where they are the zalim. The Israeli are the zalim. They are the oppressors. They had started an act of aggression against Iran, which are the mazloom. So on that point, we will support Iran. Politically, militarily, we'll support Iran because they are being oppressed. Not because of their beliefs. To understand this, we have to understand that in the Syrian war that had taken place for the last 13 years, they were the main backers and they had propped up the regime of Bashar bin Assad. And they had killed hundreds and thousands of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Men, women, children, all were killed. Also, they have their proxies all over the Hezbollah. They are also part of the Shia bloc. And this thing that we see in front of us, all these things that are happening in front of us, previously it happened also. The same thing happened. Israel and Iran war had taken place. And within a few days we find that there was some type of sulah and it had stopped. Now also we're seeing these fireworks happening from both sides. Missiles from this side and airplanes from that side. All these things are happening. But only Allah knows what is the reality of the situation behind that. And what is the intention behind this so-called war? The intention is dominance over the earth. That I am better than you. I have more power and more weapons than you. And I want to dominate you. It's nothing to do with Islam. It's nothing to do with the people of Gaza. It's nothing to do with the people of Palestine. Because you attacked me, I will retaliate. 70 years have gone by, 77 years have gone by since Israel had established itself. And there was only one or two occasions where something had happened and Iran had reacted. So we find that our aqaid, our iman, the aqaid of the Shia is totally different. They don't believe in the khatmi nubuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, it's so vile, but I have to mention it because you have to keep your iman straight. They believe Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam had come down and made a mistake. He's supposed to go to Hazrat Ali and make Hazrat Ali a Nabi, not Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They believe in speaking lies, but it's jais for them to speak lies, but in such a manner that they say, no, I can speak these lies to cover up something, it's totally permissible. They believe in muta, temporary marriage. You like a woman, pay her some money, prostitution. You say, I like you, I want to marry you for 1 hour. I want to marry you for 1 day. I want to marry you for 1 month. And you pay her and you enjoy it. So these are some parts of the belief. There are many other beliefs. Inshallah, on some other occasions, we'll go over all that, what their hypocrisy is, and how throughout the ages, how Jews, and for your information, the biggest community out of Israel, Jewish communities in Iran. The students are welcome from Israel to come and study in Iran. And they have the synagogues and their freedom to move around. Everything is found. So you wonder what is happening. If they got so much of freedom in their country, how are they bringing this thing to it? It's just a big show in front of us. Just something to, for the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah to think about that, the Shia is so good they are. The people around them, the Ahlul Sunnah, are not doing anything. At least they are doing something. But understand this, that they are not doing it for us. They are doing it to protect themselves. And the only reason we will support them, because they are oppressed. No other reason. Not that we love the Shia. Not that we have ta'alluq with the Shia. Not that we want to follow the Shia. So you have to protect your iman, my dear respected brothers. This is a zamana, this is a time where your iman will be tested over and over again. And it is a dajjali zamana. Dajjali zamana means it is a time when dajjal will come and he will show you things. And you will think that these things are the truth and these things are real. In fact, he'll put up such a performance that on his right, he will show you something that will look like Jannat. And on his left, he will show you something that looks like Jahannam. But in reality, what is in his right is Jahannam itself. And what's on his left is Jannat. But he'll beguile the people. He'll pull a veil over their faces. He will speak so eloquently. His bayans will be such that people will get attracted to him. And he will tell them such things. Only once Allah will give him the power that way he will murder somebody and he will give them life again. And he will use that as an example for the people. See, I've got the power to give life and death. And like that, so many fitnas are going to come after that. As we can see how one after the other, in the last few years, from the time the COVID started, after how everything is just turning and changing. Even in the holy lands, Makkah, Medina, find so many changes have taken place. Where now, the ummah is going towards modernization. The ummah is going towards a modern lifestyle. Where the ahkam of Allah left one side. Where the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is left one side. Where haya is not even spoken about. Where parda has been taken out. So all these things lead to one thing and one The road is leading in one direction, and that is the coming of Mahdi and the coming of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So my dear respected brothers, the need of the time is to protect yourself and your family and your children. We have passed the zamana now. We have passed the stage. But what about the progeny that is coming after us? What about the children that are coming after us? If they are not equipped with imani taqat, with the basics of iman, that is why we beg the parents, send your children to the maktab. Send your children to madrasa. Let them become upright Muslims, following the ahkam of Allah. If they are doing hifz, let them become walking Qur'ans, that whatever are the wa'adas of Allah, the promises of Allah, whatever are the laws of Allah in the Qur'an, is in their lives. Not the top, become a hafiz by name. Become an alim. Become an alim with amal, with akhlaq, with true fear and true shock for the ummah. That what can I do to help them? To protect yourself and your family, you have to attach yourself to the masjid. You have to attach yourself to some effort of deen, to some alim that is upright and that can give you direction in your life. Because the situation we find ourselves is the latest sheikh is Sheikh AI. You know who Sheikh AI? Artificial intelligence. You don't know a masla? Go on the internet. I need to know this hadith, this masla. Sheikh AI will reply. And that AI is a automatically generated. It's something that is just the computer generates. There's no face-to-face interaction. There's no ta'alluq with the Ahlullah. There's no ta'alluq with the pious people in our community. So the zamana is changing. Zamana badal gaya. Zamana is changing. We are moving very, very fast towards the day of Qiyamah, towards the time when the sur will be blown and everybody will perish. When Allah Ta'ala gives the hukam, there's talk of a nuclear war. Do you know what is a nuclear war? If a nuclear bomb is released, it will cover the entire sun for a long period of time. The whole world, the whole planet will suffer. Because now the sun is covered. So the sun is the one that gives us heat. The sun, all those processes take place. Allah Ta'ala made it the sabab of the crops growing, of all the things happening. Once that is blocked off, what happens? What calamity will befall us? How are we going to survive? And there is a hadith which states that one day will equal to 40 years. So people will be wondering how that's going to happen. Allah Ta'ala save us, my dear respected brothers. We have to turn to Allah, put our amals correct, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and our progeny. And we ourselves, those that have not performed Hajj as yet, make firm intention. Let us go through the processes, whatever the processes are. At least we made the effort. And if we happen to die before we perform our Hajj, at least we can tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I tried. And similarly, the amals in our houses, let us turn away those screens, put off those screens. Our children's minds have been programmed by those screens. We don't understand that they are watching a normal cartoon, but the subtle messages that are behind that, or they're playing a game, but there's messages that have been infiltrated and the mind is being taken in a certain direction. And that is how they are influencing us to come tabi to them, to come under them and to follow whatever they say and do whatever they do. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and the ummah at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of making such ibadah and such amal that Allah ta'ala protects our iman right up to the time we leave this world and right up to the time we are reserved. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.